Hey, welcome back, students, and those of you who've listened to this show before. I am so glad you're still with me. If this is the first time you're listening, thanks. I hope you'll be back. I'm D.A. Arliss, welcoming you to episode 058 of the Guitar Technique Tutor podcast, recorded on December 12, 2011. My goal as a guitarist and instructor with decades of experience is to raise the quality of my students and all guitarists' playing level and understanding. So here I am, doing my part to spread the excellence one guitarist at a time. Thanks again for your forbearance during my absence with my dear E-Rex. He was just totally incapacitated 2 weeks ago, and last week I just couldn't get my head wrapped around doing anything but teaching and just day-to-day life. I honestly think I had just a mini version of traumatic stress syndrome. I can't even explain it other than that. I mean, I'm a very disciplined person and very focused, and I found myself just zoning out when I had any optional time. So it was quite a harrowing life experience, but E-Rex is on the road to recovery now, and we are so thankful. If his health takes any unexpected turn, I will have to bail on this podcast again, but he's stable and gaining strength every day, so I believe he's really fully on the road to recovery. Thanks for all the good wishes, prayers, and practical help, everybody. I will never, ever be able to sufficiently thank you. Now, we're in juggling mode. We're catching up with all the things we dropped, including this podcast, for a few weeks. I'm drowning in paperwork, and I'm his social director of medical appointments, but I am not complaining. We're just trying to get back to normal. So what's been going on guitar-wise? Well, a week ago Saturday, some of my students and I were fortunate enough to visit the Les Paul and Mahwa exhibit prior to it being open to the public. I mean, prior in time that day. It has been open since September. I've been a few times prior to its official opening and once after, but this was great to have the museum to ourselves and have my students and some of their parents there. I know the parents enjoyed the exhibit thoroughly. I think most of the students gained admiration for Les Paul and his numerous and profound contributions to 20th century culture. I have to say, I was delighted to play Les's gold semi-hollow body guitar through his amp. At one point, the director of the museum put the guitar in my hands. I sat down, played, talked to my students a little bit about the guitar and about various things. It was a terrific old guitar, but I must say, of course, we can't alter collectible guitars that are in museums, but for my money, I'd have had a new set of DRs on there because the strings were in pretty crummy old shape, you know. I mean, they probably haven't been played for at least a few years, and they're the strings that were on it when Les was still alive and using it, so they were very dead. Despite that, they're played out too, and even though they were dead and played out strings, the guitar really sounded sweet. I don't know about you, but my physical mailbox and my email box are both overflowing with info about sales at guitar stores, the big name chain stores and the big name single stores, and even the indie guitar builders. It's that time of year. Remember, if you purchase a guitar online, please use a reputable dealer. If you dig back in my archived shows from last year, I spotlighted gifts for guitarists for the weeks leading up to Christmas and Hanukkah. So if you're looking for ideas, you may want to listen to a few of those old shows. I know there was also an episode that dealt with reliable online dealers. The quality of those podcasts is not quite up to the current quality I'm using now. I'm using different software and different hardware than I was at that time. So, you know, cut me a little slack there. But if you dig back, you may find some great gift ideas, some pointers about using online dealers, and some other things. I'm glad to be back. I have to say I really missed doing this show. And it'll be good to get back into a regular routine. That wraps up today's intro. And thanks again if you listened a while ago and have stayed with me through this couple of weeks of no show. I really do appreciate you listening. That wraps it up for the intro. Let's move along to today's Student Spotlight. In the Student Spotlight this week, basking in its glow, there are two students, Anya and Arno. And they're both there for very distinct reasons. Arno was really working hard on his technique and his just his chops. And he's also trying to mesh those things with the demands of the various genres of music he's playing. And I have to compliment that he's diligent and he's sincere and he's got that desire and pursuit of excellence, desire for and pursuit of excellence. So good on you, Arno. You're doing great. And Anya, we had an interruption of a couple of weeks, and I hadn't seen Anya. Actually, Anya's the lesson that I did not do when I just popped home and I happened to check on E-Rex, and the rest is history. So the truth is, had I gone out and taught Anya, E-Rex might not still be with us. So it was quite a miracle. She's doing very well, working through indie music she likes to play, as well as kind of classic, not classical, but classic songs that everybody expects guitarists to be able to play. And she's doing very well. Her schedule is pretty tight and she's spread a little thin, but she's staying with it. So both of you, kudos for your stick-to-itiveness. Now concentrate. These are a couple of dreamy weeks we have coming up leading to the new year, and I see it's just the same as spring fever right around this time of the year. I see kind of glazed over looks, or students who ordinarily they're practicing and the time they spend is efficient and focused and profitable, and it kind of drifts this time of year, whether it's the malaise of these short dark days, or they're dreaming about Hanukkah or Christmas or New Year plans or whatever. It seems to grab everybody. So Anya and Arno, don't fall victim to it. You can stay disciplined and maintain your edges in these next couple of weeks. So great work. Let's move along to this week's question of the week. The question of the week is from a relative of a student. I cannot be more specific than that for reasons that are obvious. The question was, I want to get my fill in the relationship an amp for fill in the winter holiday. What should I get and how much should I spend? Ay, ay, ay. That's like asking a stranger who you should marry. This is a crazy question, but I thought it was reasonable to deal with it because some of you who are listening might have posed that question, and I want to be of service to you as well as the guitar players who listen. There are way, way, way too many variables to have answered the question in the 3-minute exchange we had out of earshot of the student who will probably be the recipient of the amp from a relative. purchasing an amp can be as complex as purchasing the correct guitar, except for the physical size is no issue. Other than that, there are lots of variables. The two biggest questions are, what kind of guitar will it be amplifying, and what sound or sounds does the recipient desire to achieve with the amp? These are the two biggies. Most people who are not guitarists and intimately acquainted with the recipient of this intended gift cannot answer those questions. So with less than 2 weeks until Christmas and Hanukkah, if you are buying a guitar or an amp or any related gift, that's kind of a biggie. You know, I'm not talking about picks. Well, even picks, you've got to know the thickness of the pick that the recipient likes and the shape of the pick the recipient likes. But anyway, if you're buying a guitar or guitar-related gift and the recipient has not asked for a specific, particular item, think gift card. If you want it to be more memorable than just handing someone or sending someone a gift card, plan a day together if you're in the same geographic location. And, you know, make a day, go out and purchase the gift, whatever it's going to be. You know, if it were a chick, you know, you'd go shopping for the whatever and then do lunch or maybe do a manicure or something, and it would be a really memorable day, plus the item was purchased. I don't know that what that would be for guys. Frequently when I've accompanied my students to purchase high-end instruments, we do make a day of it. We usually have, if we can get this accomplished in the morning hours or in the early part of the day, we'll usually go out and have a meal to celebrate, and we'll linger over that meal for hours. It's just something that we do. And I'm not even a relative. So if you know the person you're buying the guitar for very well, you can surely come up with some kind of plan for making the gift just a perfect day and memorable, and by virtue of the guitarist that you're purchasing for will be with you, you'll come up with the exact right gift instead of something that has to be returned or something that is an optimum for the instrument or the genre they're playing. Also, if someone asks you the same question as the above quoted unnamed relative of some student did, do not fall into the pit of making a recommendation. I can tell you there's a better than 75% chance it's going to come back to bite you. Think and suggest gift card. That's all I have to say. Now let's move along to this week's news. The news this week is about a pair of sweet guitars from our friends at Epiphone. It's very shrewd to have both of these guitars available beginning this month. This is a big guitar gift buying month, and Epiphone is very, very shrewd. I'm referring to the all-new Epiphone ES 339 Pro and Ultra 339. If you know about the 339s, these are guitars, this is sort of a revival of an old guitar. This is truly, this new release, these two new models are 21st century guitars. And by that I mean they are ready for the digital age. They have USB outputs. They have choice of the kind of pickups you can engage while you're playing. So a lot of you, you gigging musicians who listen, who take more than one guitar to a gig, this may very well solve your problem. You may be able to take just this one. The old ES series became classic in the late 50s. they kind of bridged the feel of an archtop guitar to players who really had already embraced solid body guitars like Les Pauls. Now, the ES-335 became an instant success, but its problem back then and until now is that it was really, really too big. The ES-339 Pro is the remedy. The body dimensions are smaller while still retaining the bell-like tones of all ES series guitar, as well as the classic shape. So this is a semi-hollow body guitar, or semi-solid body guitar, whichever way you'd like to say it. I call it semi-hollow body. It's got that classic ES shape, but the similarities to the old ESs stops there. The electronics are fabulous. As I said, you can switch on the fly between the kinds of pickups that you want to use, which is really amazing. They've got Pro Bucker humbuckers, and they've got a bridge pickup. There's lots of other stuff going on this guitar. I'm reluctant to go down the litany of things and offerings that it will give you. If you're possibly in the market for guitars that are versatile, that are ready to plug right into your computer, that you can play crunch, rock, jazz, country, blues, you name it, you can play it on these guitars. And, you know, don't forget, Epiphone has a really great limited lifetime warranties. They've got 24/7, 365 customer service. These guitars are, the hardware on them is really high quality. You've got sort of nostalgic appointments too. You know, you've got Wilkinson vintage Tombstone buttons. You know, you've got a Loctone Tunematic. They're beautiful guitars. There's going to be pictures of them in the show notes. And I will link to where you can read about these guitars, but I'm not always over the moon about every guitar I talk about. I'd like to draw your attention to the good ones that come out. And this is just a fabulous pair of guitars. Now, price point, that's another issue. I would say they're nicely priced. I believe your Pro comes in, if you shop carefully, it'll come in at just under $500, which for a guitar that's offering all this is really wonderful. And I believe the Ultra's coming in, if you shop carefully, at maybe just under $800. You should check these out if you're looking for a new guitar, especially if you're thinking ES. Definitely this new line is fabulous. So I can't say enough about it. You should check it out. That's basically what I'm going to say. That's the new ES 339 Pro and Ultra 339 from Epiphone. They've just become available December 2011, so now's the time to grab them. I would imagine that most well-equipped guitar stores, whether they're indie shops or the chain stores, should be having them. If you're dead set on playing them and sampling them, I would call ahead and make sure you don't make a trip for nothing. Okay? That wraps up the news for this week. Let's move along to the Take Notes segment. My take note topic this week is about balancing style and the intent of the original composer of whatever non-original music you play. I know, there's so much leeway in the meaning of each of these terms, style and intent, that you may want to mentally tune out, if not physically. Stay with me, though. So what is style? I don't mean genre here. Don't, you know, you could say, what style guitar do you play? And somebody says rock and somebody says blues. That's genre. I'm referring to that indescribable but clearly evident personalization most musicians playing carries in just the way they articulate what they play. Let's see if I can give you an example without taking too long. Okay, not an example, but a demonstration of what I mean. If you Google or Bing or otherwise search 100 best fill-in-the-genre guitarists, don't search just 100 best guitarists, because most of those lists are rock and blues heavy without other genres in which it's beneficial for you to become familiar. So I'm saying, you know, search 100 best jazz guitarists, 100 best blues guitarists, 100 best rock guitarists, 100 best classical guitarists, and on and on. And as you scan the lists that you come up with, you're going to be hearing those players in your mind's ear. You would never mistake Stevie Ray Vaughan for Jimi Hendrix, even if you hear both of them playing the same song. There's the difference of distance of infinity in how they articulate the same song. Likewise, you'd know the difference between, say, Wes Montgomery and Charlie Byrd playing the same song. And you would never mistake John Williams for Andre Segovia playing the same piece. That thing that causes you to know which guitarist is playing, even a piece you've never heard them play before, is what I'm referring to as style. It's like a painter's signature. It's a signature sound or way of interpreting music that sets them apart and sets them up as an individual guitarist. Just a word of instructors, or a word of warning to instructors here. Be careful not to play too much for your students, lest they absorb your style and not develop their own. I became painfully aware of this, years ago, when I listened to one of my students play, and he was playing, I mean, it sounded like me. And I know I play in a stylistic way, and that was very disturbing to me, and to try to break him of that and to have him open his mind instead of just absorbing everything that was around him was quite an undertaking. And I mean, I owed it to the student to disabuse them of my style and give them their own voice. But instructors, be careful about that. The original intent of a composer. Now, that's an interesting concept. We hear it all the time in benchmark music. There's no mistaking Jimmy's Star Spangled Banner. No one would mistake it for some other piece of music or some original piece of music, unless they weren't American. I mean, you know, you have to be familiar with the original. I think the music, the way he rendered it, which was totally unique, was absolutely true to the intent of John Stafford Smith's melody, despite how far it wandered in embellishment and the totally different genre in which Jimmy played. The original melody and rhythm remained intact and clearly identifiable. The same is true for George Van Epps' rendering of Tangerine. Whether it's a mechanism of technique or a musical affectation, original style is a great thing to cultivate in your playing. Hear me now, but not to the abandonment of the constraints of the composer's intent and the clear rendering of it. If you play your own work, knock yourself out, but pay attention to how you sound. Say what you want to say musically. However, I hope when you do, you don't sound like you have a personality disorder. I mean, I know people who, they sound like that when they're playing, they are schizophrenic. Balance is what's required. There is a point at which original music and covers can sound like just noise instead of music, or they can be so notey that not even a musician who knows what you're playing has a clue what you're trying to say. And I guess that's the main point here. Just because you can dazzle with speed or your phrasing or a very cool playing technique that's uniquely yours doesn't mean that you don't have to think about the music itself. Wes Montgomery could play octaves everywhere and utterly fluidly, but without retaining the integrity of the music he was interpreting, he'd have been a yawn and not an iconic guitar historical figure. So keep style on a tight rein if you tend toward excess, and be sure you're stating the music of what you're playing very clearly. By the music, I mean the intent of the composition. Someone not being able to identify the music you're playing, if it's something they should be familiar with and have heard in some other form, is not a compliment to your technique or style. It means that you're floundering or can't have, or that you're unable to find a voice for what you're trying to say. So I hope this has made you think about it a little bit. You need to maintain the integrity of the original work if it's not yours, and let your style complement what you're doing, not overrun it and take over so that what you're trying to say musically doesn't come through. That wraps it up for the Take Notes segment, and it wraps it up for the fresh segments of episode 058. So let's move along to the outro and wrap this baby up. Don't forget, if your year-end holiday travels bring you anywhere near northern New Jersey or the New York metro area, check out the Les Paul in Mahwah exhibit at the Mahwah Museum in Mahwah, New Jersey. It's open Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday, but check Christmas and New Year's weekends, just to be sure that they will have hours. It's worth the trip. It was great to play Les's guitar through his very own amp. Too bad it didn't have a fresh set of DRs on it. Just kidding. I know we can't do that to beautiful collection pieces of a museum. Nice work, Anya and Arno. Keep it up. If you want to surprise someone with a guitar, a big guitar accessory, think gift card. Don't just buy anything to get it done. Check out the spectacular Epiphone ES 339 Pro and Ultra 339s. They are marvelous. The Pro can be purchased for probably under $500 if you shop carefully, and the Ultra for under $800. Listen to yourself ruthlessly when you play, and be sure to balance your individual playing style with the original intent of the composer. I'm looking forward to next week's podcast and my E-Rex's continued recovery. I do plan to take a break Christmas week and be back recording on Mondays as usual in 2012. Students and valued listeners, I want to thank you once again for your time and for rejoining me for episode 058 of the Guitar Technique Tutor podcast. I'm glad you stayed with me if you were a listener prior to my unexpected break. I hope you heard something today that was thought-provoking, instructional, and/or entertaining. I will include links to anything I mentioned that I think you might like to explore further in this week's show notes. Don't forget that my website is guitartechniquetutor.com, all spelled traditionally. GUITARTECHNIQUETUTOR.com. And you can reach me by email at guitartechnique@gmail.com. Please note that there is no tutor in the email address. Don't hesitate to email me your question for the Question of the Week segment. If I use your question, I will be delighted to contact you and send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick. You can follow me on Twitter, where I'm Guitar Technique. I am not a tweeting maniac, and I really didn't tweet over the last few weeks. I'll probably be getting back to it. Ordinarily, I tweet to update those who are following me on what I'm doing, mostly guitarish, and I retweet what I think is interesting from the people I follow. On my homepage and on the podcast page of my website, you'll find links to subscribe to the podcast in a variety of ways, and or to subscribe to the show notes by email or a reader. If you're seeking expert, competent guitar instruction, in the Burgund and Rockland County towns in which I teach, such as Airmont, Allendale, Fairlawn, Franklin Lakes, Glen Rock, Hawthorne, Hohokus, Hilburn, Mahwa, Midland Park, Montebello, Montvale, Oakland, Oradell, Paramus, Park Ridge, Ramsey, Ridgewood, River Edge, Saddle River, Suffern, Tallman, Teaneck, Upper Saddle River, Waldwick, Washington Township, Westwood, Woodcliff Lake, or Wyckoff, please contact me. For lesson inquiries, calling is best, and my number is on the website. If we can coordinate our schedules and you're a good candidate to learn to play the guitar or improve your current guitar playing, perhaps we can work together. Practice, have a great week, and until next time, I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, doing my part to spread the excellence one guitarist at a time.